from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Back Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Rangers have a starter in the All-Star game. We're going to talk about that. The other big stories of the day. General at your service. There's Broadus. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here. 75 and Fitzhugh keeping the Gators down best he can. Okay. Woolchuck's here. Eric Chiafalo still on morning show duty. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and on YouTube. And a good afternoon, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Yeah, I couldn't get a base hit with bases loaded and one out,
dude,
the fifth.
I thought Wyatt had the grand slam, and it just went foul. I mean, I perked up and thought, oh my God, let's go. And he had two chances at it with the bases loaded in the fifth and the seventh. And you're right. Oh, man, so close to making the six games in a row. But, hey, they won the series. Take two of three against the Astros. If you get the sweep, that'd be awesome. But at least take two of three against the Astros. Just keep winning series.
Could have been different. 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position. And on a night where your pitching wasn't great, you know, you needed some offense. Couldn't get it. But, yeah, heading in the right direction still into this monster silver boot series with the Astros. Baseball excitement is high around these parts. Brian, how you doing over there?
You know what? I'm doing fine. I'm excited about the opportunity to compete against the Astros. Just kind of, you know, this is a good opportunity to help yourself here. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start to talk about the head-to-head matchups and things like that, you know, you always worry about, oh, come on, Padres. You know, come on, somebody else. You know, when you're playing the Mariners or whoever, this is the opportunity. You got to take advantage of these series. And, you know, we'll see if, in fact, that the way that they're playing, the way they've been hitting, will carry over into this series, because they're going to need some runs, and I think that you know, you take two or three, I'm going to feel a lot better about going in the All-Star.
Oh break. Heck yeah! I mean, you give me two or three right now, I would love that. I don't want to get swept. You know, I think the Astros are a really good baseball team right now again. Yeah. You know, they've fought through injuries, what they've been able to do over the last 25 games or so is an inspiration. I hope the Rangers can do that. What do you think, Woolchuck? Are the Astros back to being a strong contender, or is this just a hot streak?
No, they're definitely, you can't count them out. I mean, they've earned that. It's amazing how they've been able to navigate all of the starting rotation injuries that they've had. And Verlander's been on the IL, and then you lose Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy. And look, they just seem to have guys come up, whether it's Spencer Arrighetti or whoever is the no-name guy, and they seem to produce for them. So they're 7-3 in their last 10, just like you are. This is a critical series. Unfortunately, you're right. The Padres didn't help you at all to keep it at 5.5 back from the M's. You're now 6.5 back there. But you just got to keep getting some timely hitting and hope that, the walks were really what the issue was last night for Michael Lorenzen. He hits a batter. He has, I think it was a total of 4 or 5 walks. I mean, that's something, the command issues that we haven't seen from him. But you've got some of your best guys. Heaney, who's been really good this year, and he's had success in his career against the Astros. Nathan Eovaldi, your best big game pitcher. And then I believe it'll be Max Scherzer on Sunday. And let's go in there and hopefully you'd at least take two out of three. You keep this thing trending positive. And I don't know. I don't know how Jose Altuve can even play in this series. You know, he got hit with on the hand on Friday. Now he can't play in the All-Star game. Surprise, surprise. Bassick was on that 2 weeks ago. So thankfully for us, we got Marcus Semien, who's going to start for you at second base.
Yeah,
but I guess
cool.
Altuve shouldn't play in this series, right? He's got to rest that hand.
Yeah,
I would think so. That makes sense to me. You know, a few extra days for him, I think would be well-timed right now. But yeah, Rangers offense cooled off at the wrong time. You know, Daniel Robert gave up a couple of runs after Lorenzen did. Yeah. Salute to Semien and Heim, though, with multi-hit games. You did scatter around eight hits. It was the runners in scoring position. But, you know, some nights you just don't have it sync up. But, you know, you have guys that are producing, and you needed that from Heim, a big step in the right direction to get his bat heated up. So I'm feeling overall a lot better about this offense. At the same time, the pitching staff is getting healthy. It is exciting.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 just weren't great last night. That was a problem. But, you know, again, and I'm worried about Lorenzen and his situation. He looks like, to me, he's wearing down. You know, everything
last year,
everything has kind of started for him really, really well. You know, the walks have been a problem. Control has been a problem. You know, so we'll see if, in fact, you know, maybe when you start to talk about if you're not going to sell, but maybe moving a guy.
Yeah. Get ahead of that, you move him, and then you just slide Malley into the rotation. That would be smart.
Maybe before Lorenzen just completely runs out of gas, you just find a way to kind of move him.
Happened last year. He was terrible in the second half of the season.
Something minor, you know, do what you have to do. But
I like having the depth.
I'm sure that CY is all over that right now.
He is. He has a lot of big decisions to make, and you want nobody else than CY making those decisions for your organization. Biggest regular season silver boot so far. I don't want to be hearing from Astros fans. You could take a big step in pulling them back to 500 and you yourself getting there, but it's got to start with good baseball, and I think we're getting all the indicators that we'll get that. Jared Sandler will be with us tomorrow at 6. Of course, CY joins us every Monday at 4:20. Next Monday might be a little bit tricky with the All-Star game, but I'm sure he'll make himself available if he can.
I saw an email that no player shows, no GM shows.
It's all out.
So, they're taking a full week off.
They did this last year, too. This is not something that they decided because of the way the season's going, but this is something we went through last year.
But we got a lot of former players that are going to be at All-Star Village, so we might have an opportunity to pop on. You know, maybe it's Mark Teixeira, or you mentioned Pudge. I mean, you never know who's going to possibly pop on with any of the shows next week.
Okay. Micah Parsons reacting to a write-up about him being ranked the third best edge in the league. What's your reaction to this? The Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open. I thought it was awesome that he found a way to get a chip on his shoulder. This is Jordan-esque, that this write-up was great, you know, but he found the one thing that he drew motivation from it. Like, you know, they point out that Parsons and Reggie White are the only two players in history with at least 13 sacks in each of their first three seasons. He had a career-high 14 sacks despite facing 167 double teams, most among edge rushers. It's number one. His pass rush win rate, 5 percentage points higher than anyone else. Wolchuk went through this with you yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they say, they put a quote in here, unreal athleticism, twitch, speed, bend, phenomenal. And then they, you know, the one criticism they have is that, you know, his issues are really more in the run game when he has to take on heavy stuff. That's where you feel the lack of size a little bit. Micah responds, there's no way it was 167 double teams, exclamation point, maybe 500. Mother bleepers can't bleep with me, man. It's up this year on mama. And it says 2 weeks, 2 weeks till camp. I love the chip on the shoulder, but I think he's motivated. I think maybe he feels like he has something to prove. And while his offseason, you know, isn't one that Cowboys fans would pick, maybe this is what he needs to have the edge to play a little bit more consistently.
Man, we talked about this back when Winning Time was going on, that Lakers show on HBO, and Magic would use like anything he could. Michael Jordan during The Last Dance, like any little thing for motivation. I'm for it with these athletes, man. And look, Malik Hooker said, and I agree with him, like Micah's probably got so much more that he can do and well rounding out his game right now. And I agree. So anything that he can use is fuel to the fire. I think maybe having, you know, a Jordan Love on your podcast 2 weeks after he kicks your butt at the Super Bowl, that's probably the type of stuff that rubs Cowboy fans the wrong way. But at the end of the day, he can control what he does on the football field, and that's never really been a doubt. The key will be, how good is he in December and January, right? That's kind of when we've seen a little bit of the wear and tear, and he acknowledged that as well. So what has he done this offseason to try and make himself be able to sustain the rigorous grind that is a 17-game schedule and hopefully some playoff games or a playoff game?
And there's the topic of playing against the run as well. I mean, I really think if you're a complete player, it's great to get the sacks, but if your defensive line is getting run all over and you're the star, I think you got to figure out a way to get that done. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was looking at next-gen stats about him and the percentage, and he's right. I mean, he's talking about the numbers. He had 464 pass rush snaps last year, and he was double-teamed on 21% of those, and that's an incredibly high number when you look at the others. Like Nick Bosa was right about 7%. Josh Allen from Jacksonville, he was at 6%. So, yeah, he sees a very, very high number of double teams that he has to deal with. But the questions you have to ask him and the questions he has to ask himself is that what happens to you in playoffs and what happens to you sometimes in the second half of the season? Because if you look at his stats and his pressures and his sacks, and when do those happen? He generally catches those in the first and the second, mainly first half player.
Yes.
Where are the sacks and the pressures in the third and fourth?
Would he say, I'm getting double teamed so much? Does that kind of point the finger at his teammates a little bit more?
It's fair. It's fair to say.
Still that, only 20% of the snaps, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's very fair that, you know, somebody else has to kind of step up and create those sacks, those pressures. But you, when they did the next gen stuff, when you look at specifically when it happens and on what downs it happens, you know, you kind of get a gauge that later in the game and later on third and fourth downs, he doesn't get the pressures that he gets early in the game and then on first and second down.
And it is fair to say.
And it might be he might absolutely get wore down as the game goes on.
Yeah.
But there, you know, that's where these guys.
When you need to do it, I mean, when you get a pass rusher going off in the fourth quarter, it totally takes over the game.
That's the thing that I think that Micah Parsons. If there's one thing that you could say, can you be that finisher? Can you be the guy that can you be the one that when it's the final drive of the game, or Detroit's got the ball, or Seattle has the ball in their drive, or the Dolphins for that matter.
Yeah, and there was really one instance of it that we saw it, and it was that Seattle game.
Yeah.
He came up with a big pressure,
right,
and now Geno Smith's got to drill that ball into the ground. But to answer your question there about, like, you know, hey, is that a fair excuse? To me, it's not, right? Like, of course you need help, sure. But again, when it comes back to the contract talks, you're Aaron Donald over here was his entire career getting double and triple teamed. That's how you end up being a Hall of Famer. You find a way to be disruptive and be a playmaker, and you fight through that. That's the difference between the good and the great, right? So in how many times did he get held and we didn't get the call?
Sure.
So he's got plenty of gripes, and what he's saying is justifiable and fair. But no, when it comes down to sitting down and I'm the Cowboys, I'm negotiating with you about contracts, don't complain to me about the times you're getting double teamed. If you want $50 million a year, man, I need you to go out there and perform through it.
Yeah, just in taking a peek at like a guy like Max Crosby, he's at 12% on the doubles. And Miles Garrett is about 16%.
So that speaks to the Cowboys' lack, to me, of the defensive tackle production.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, he needs like two more multi-sack games, you know, to get to that next level. And then if he does that, then I'll say, you know, he's on those guys' level. But right now, I don't think that's an excuse that quite covers it. 503 does say he almost gets held every play.
That is true.
Be an interesting film study as he held more than the other great pass rushers.
Yeah.
We did a story last year that suggested, though, that, you know, these refs kind of have a quota of how many holds they're going to call per game because they don't want to over-officiate the games. And it's like the aesthetic of the product on TV is more important than are you getting held or not. So if you're consistently beating guys and they're having to hold you more, I don't think you're going to, I think there's a diminishing return on that, you know, penalty factor. And I do think Micah Parsons suffers from that for sure.
Well, the ones that are really, really good draw penalties.
Yeah.
You know, they find a way to, you know, and we could all say Micah gets held. Yeah, we've seen it with our own eyes. But, you know, there's,
he's got to flop a little.
Yeah, I think so.
Arms up.
Ah! I think, yeah, I mean, spin, fall down, do what you have to do, you know, throw hands up. I mean, we've seen others do it and grab calls. But you're right. I think you're absolutely right about the quota of NFL officials. You know, sometimes they'll call things very early in the game, and then in the third and fourth quarters, they don't. But, again, he has to be a more productive player in those fourth quarters of these games.
Titans have a deal with Jamal Adams. Well, I'm sure we'll get more on that later on. In 1 hour, we'll have your NFL news of the day and stuff like that. Still nothing on CeeDee Lamb, right? Do you think he's going to hold out?
You know, David Hillman said something yesterday that I think that we can all kind of take a look at and feel like that. Yeah, he's might be onto something. This could be get to camp, a week of practice, another 3 or 4 days of practice, maybe 10 days then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh, well, here we got CD signed up and now he's reporting and, you know, we're going to have a press conference out there and all that. So, you know, David Hillman, you know, much like myself, have kind of lived these things at training camp, and you guys have been out there a lot yourself. But, you know, I think he makes an excellent point that probably in 10 days, we saw it with Zeke. We saw the same thing with Zach Martin. Right?
Yep.
That kind of thing. You know, you get through a week of practice, 10 days of practice, and the next thing you know, you got a guy in camp.
Trayvon Diggs' deal got done.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of the thing I've been going back to. That's why I think it does get done when we're out there in California. And I don't think he arrives, though, to start the camp.
No.
I think he probably is a holdout. It's just how long does it take once camp starts to get the deal done.
All right, let's make some more football calls. NFL True or Fart, then the G-Bag of the Day is coming up next. Here it's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. It is G-Bag of the Day coming up in about 10 minutes. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel are the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Wolchek.
Thank you very much. I saw a piece on ESPN today from Dan Graziano, judging overreactions to 2024 NFL offseason signings and the draft. And I figured this could be fun. Yep. Let's play some NFL true or fart, shall we? And if it's your first time ever playing along with us and you're like, what the hell is that? Well, it's our version of true or false, thanks to this Freudian slip on air from ESPN.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or far, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
The great Robert Flores. We start with you, Brian Broaddus. True or fart, false, Dak Prescott will sign with a different team next spring.
I'm going to say that's true.
Mm.
I'm going to say that's true because I feel like, though, that they're going to let this thing ride, and he is going to look at it, and it might be a situation where they're setting up their coach and their quarterback and everybody to fail and hope that they can maybe get him at a cheaper price, you know? But no, I could see Dak Prescott, absolutely somebody coming in here and blowing him away and giving him what he wants. And yeah, so I'm going to say, I'm not going to ride defense. I'm going to say he's probably gone.
Going true. My goodness.
I do think it's football flatulence. I think, you know, how much more he would get from another team isn't that much more, and I think the Cowboys would ultimately match that. But, you know, I think more than anything, Jerry and the Cowboys don't want to lose a quarterback good enough to get him to the playoffs, and Dak doesn't want to leave. It's a unique situation, but I think the Cowboys approach things in a unique way.
Kind of feel like if he didn't want to leave, he would sign right now.
Ooh.
That's okay. The angle I would take. If, you know, if he is really interested in being here, then he tells Todd France that, okay, where are we? What's the number? What are we good at? Can you negotiate it at this? Maybe they are. Maybe they're negotiating it right now. But if he really, really wanted to be here, they could have get this deal done. We've had quarterbacks that have already signed.
I think I'd be willing to go 2-1 odds on a bet
that he
ain't going anywhere.
That he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think you make some great points there, Brian, because as Jerry said, he wanted to see leaves fall. You've seen leaves fall with the quarterback contracts and wide receiver contracts. So you've got essentially what you need to get a deal done there.
Sure.
I'm going to lean fart here just because I don't know that the Cowboys are going to want to go down that road of uncertainty at the position and the comfortability factor of it that we've talked about, right? Like, they know they've got a quarterback where, hey, we can get to the postseason. But and they seem to really believe enough bites at the apple. Maybe if finally they end up getting to the core.
Sure, and they're going to sign in Trey Lance for $20 million, and it's going to be $40 million less, and that's going to allow them to pay Lamb, to pay Tyler Smith, to pay all these other
Ferguson,
contracts.
Bland.
Yeah.
They got a lot of deals coming up.
Yeah.
That would be, I mean, that would make some sense as well. That's going to be fascinating to see if that thing doesn't get done, what happens next spring. All right, true or fart, Gavin Dawson, a top wide receiver will get traded before the start of the season.
Yeah, I think so. If you consider Brandon Ayuk one of those guys, I'm sure there's a couple of other names. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to get moved, but, you know, it just seems like there's so much smoke, and right now teams still have a couple of weeks to, you know, let somebody concede. But once camps get going, or, you know, once we're taking off for camp, those deals will, you know, quickly get done.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Brandon Ayuk one makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've already seen Diggs in that situation, you know. So, I kind of feel like that maybe that we're going down that path, and Ayuk is the perfect name for that.
He is. And even Debo's a name to wonder. I mean, they tried to float him out there as well. So I'm going to lean. I was thinking fart on this, but the more we start to see Brandon Ayuk post the Washington Commanders stuff, I just think he's trying to force his way out of there. And if they get to camp and Ricky Pearsall hits the ground running, like I think we believe that he could do, really good player out of Florida, I'm going to lean true. I think they might just say, you know what, we don't want to deal with the headache, and they move Brandon Ayuk. All right, true or fart, Gavin Dawson, the Steelers, after signing Fields and Wilson, will be back in the quarterback market again next spring.
Yes. I don't think there's any way you can avoid that, although it might take another year or two. You know, Russ, I could see Russell Wilson winning enough games with them that they just don't pick high enough to, you know, like what is available for them in the draft. It's really tough, and I think part of the problem finding that next quarterback is when you keep picking 14th, 15th. You know, it's just difficult to get high enough up to find a talent that you really, really like. So I'm actually going to reverse course and say that's a fart.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's true. I don't see Russ playing any better, and you know, we'll see what happens with Fields. Will it be to the point? And the one thing we know about Mike Tomlin is they could be five games under 500, and then he finds a way to go on a heater.
Damn right.
But I don't know if it's going to be because of their quarterback. So yeah. I think, you know, the whole thing with Kenny Pickett and all that, man, that's just, they can't find an offensive coordinator. That's been a real struggle for them as well. So I'm going to say they're going to probably be in the quarterback market as well.
Yeah, I'm going to lean true here. And Fields was a guy that I haven't wanted to give up hope on, but man, it didn't sound like he was having a good mini camp with them at all. We'll have to see how training camp goes. Might be talking about the Steelers as another potential landing spot for Dak Prescott if indeed he does move on from the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe him and Mike Tomlin link up there. That'd be pretty interesting.
I could see it. I mean, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks from Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah, the stats weren't bad.
He's not putting up huge totals, but he can play efficient football, and I think that's all they need.
It really is. At the quarterback position with how their defense plays.
I'd keep an eye on Tampa, and I'd keep an eye on the Giants.
I would say New Orleans just because of the Louisiana ties. So sure. I think they're probably going to move on from Derek Carr, but I like the teams you mentioned there. All right, true or fart, Brian. Kirk Cousins will be one and done in Atlanta.
I'm going to say that's fart. I think he's going to be there for a couple of years. They'll figure out, you know, what they're going to do with that kid that they drafted. It'll give him an opportunity. I think next year will be a little bit more of a competitive situation, you know. And so I give Kurt about 2 years there. So I'll say that's fart.
Ooh, yeah. I can't imagine they're going to push the agenda with Penix. But if he gets an opportunity, I believe in him, Wolchuk. So I got to back my belief in Penix and say he is going to send Kirk Cousins packing and then biting a big old salary cap bullet. Maybe they can trade him to somebody and recoup something.
I would love to see that because I am a believer in Michael Penix. I think we were both watching him, Brian. Yeah. Man, this kid's got something.
We're watching all those receivers.
Yeah, yeah, sure, he's got a little bit factor there, and they've got some talent around him, but I do think the money they've invested in Kirk Cousins, unless there's an injury and we see a similar Penix Dak Prescott situation where he comes in and just takes over, I don't know that he's one and done, so I'd have to fart on that, but I could see Penix taking over that job sooner than later.
I feel like that Atlanta is going to win the South.
I agree.
Adam in Arlington asks, can we send a wellness check to Bobby Belt's house after Brian's comments about Dak leaving? It's a good question. Appreciate your concern, 817.
You do a love of the star. You think Bobby is starting to believe that maybe Dak's gone after this year, too?
I think he's starting to have a little bit of that's creeping in for a lot of folk because there's just, you don't see anything, any kind of progress. You don't even, and maybe, you know, hey, the Cowboys aren't interested in doing stuff through the media and Todd French, really. So you got to hope that maybe they're talking.
Yeah.
But man, I just feel like this could have gotten done a long time ago and it's not.
Oof. All right, last one before we get to G-Bag of the Day. Gavin, true or fart, the J-E-T-S Jets have jumped ahead of the Bills and the Dolphins in the race for the AFC East.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think Buffalo has kind of run its course as far as how it managed the cap very aggressively. I think it's been running out of steam. Miami, similar situation, really gone all in for a couple of different players. And I believe in the Jets. You know, what was it, the fourth-ranked roster on paper?
Mm-hmm. Good roster on paper.
Big Aaron Rodgers believer. You know, not a lot of guys can play deep into their 30s, but, you know, I think Rodgers has, you know, demonstrated there's not been a huge fall-off. What was it, just a couple of years removed from 13-3 seasons, yep. MVP seasons. Yep. I think Aaron Rodgers is still very comfortably one of the top five quarterbacks in the game.
That's fart. The Dolphins are the team to beat in the East.
Ooh, I like that. You know, I do have an affinity for Mike McDaniel. I'm going to lean fart just because I got to see it to believe it. I can't count on health on that roster. They're banking on so many guys, Tyron Smith being one of them, that just has not consistently been healthy. But if they are, they're a legit threat in the AFC.
Time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I done got my life together. I ain't doing nothing but weed. That's a fact, Jack. How you fellas doing today on this
Great.
Thursday?
Great.
All right.
I was loving the old Texas Tech game you had up here with
Yeah, 2003 Texas Tech. Yeah, that was
that roster was loaded.
Yeah, it's still on pause. I'm running back. I had to check out what's going on in the well-off media world. Deion Sanders and them. Had to see what's going on. I checked that out. Give them their clicks. Give them their views. All right, our winner of G Bag of the Day. This is day two right here. You won't believe it. It's Jim Rome. Yeah. It's Jim Rome. You won't believe it.
Jeremy Bryan.
This damn near started off as a troll, and it's taking steam. Here's Jim Rome with just a banger of a sports minute, dropping nothing but facts on you.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Not as if I haven't asked this question before, but here we go again. Yo, Dallas, how you living? Seriously,
clones.
Because if you're a Cowboy fan and your answer is, Rome, I'm terrible. Well, I totally get it. The Cowboys simply cannot stop going full Cowboys this offseason.
No.
This might be the most Cowboys the Cowboys have ever been in the offseason. I'm Jim Rome.
Man, come on, bro. Come on, bro. That's like when you did not do the homework, but the teacher asked you what happened on chapter three.
Yeah.
That's what you give one of these. And you give the...
This is Jim Rome with it.
You got to give it up, baby. All right, let's see here. What we got? Yes Network. Shout out to my man, Carter.
Yeah.
Located behind me, paws in the pimp cup. Sent me this clip from the Yes Network. Michael K. He knows I like Michael K. meltdowns.
Ooh,
just like I like Mike Francesa not knowing what's going on or the name of the player or if he's on air or not. You know,
he fell asleep.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Let's go. Michael K. Peter Rosenberg. Michael K. goes off on a caller because the caller says, seems like you're doing a whole lot of caping for the Yankees, bro.
And you will never, Big Michael K. will never criticize the Yankees. Probably hang up on me, but never.
You want me? You know what, jerk off? You want me to hang up on you, don't you? I am not going to hang up on you. I'm going to let you spew your nonsense. All I do is sit here and criticize the Yankees every day. Are you hard of hearing? Are you hard of hearing, Mike?
What did you say about Boone? What did you say about Boone?
I tell you, he is managing and... No.
Boone doesn't do anything,
are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan?
He doesn't.
You're a Met fan or a Yankee fan? What are you?
Yankee fan.
You're a Yankee fan. I have said that Boone acts in concert with the front office. I'm giving you reasons what's going on. I have said over and over they have a chance of falling out of the postseason. What do you want me to do? I don't understand what you want me to do, Mike.
Boone
go find it somewhere else.
Boone is a puppet.
Go find it somewhere else, Mike. Tell me who's saying stuff like this.
You'll hang up, Michael. You'll hang up, Michael.
Again? You want me to hang up on you, you clown? You want me to hang up on you? I am going to let you bury yourself. I'm not going to hang up on you. You deserve to be exposed as a moron. Go. Continue to go. You've got the radio. Go, Mike. Go.
Go, Mike. Go.
That's gold right there.
That is amazing.
You clown. I'm not going to hang up on you.
I love it, bro. Now, let's see what else we got for you boys. On a Thursday, enjoying yourself out here. Be careful, y'all.
Yeah.
HOA Larry is what they are calling this guy online. HOA Larry. You know, it's summertime. Some of the kids are outside doing things.
Yeah.
These kids right here going to the neighborhood pond, doing some fishing. But HOA Larry says, you do not live in this neighborhood. You need to get on out of here.
Yo, don't touch my rod. No. Don't touch my rod.
You're trespassing on private property, young man.
We're waiting for the police to come.
Yo,
we're
waiting for the police to come. Get out of here.
No, wait for the
police.
No, we're going to talk to
leave.
Them.
You want that phone to go in the lake?
Ooh.
Back up.
Test me.
Back up for me.
How'd I take that phone and put it in the lake?
Yeah, then I'll press charges.
For what?
Like assault, what?
For what?
Assault.
Assault.
Yeah, I'm not assaulting you. Get out of here.
We're just going to wait. We're not going to mess with anything.
Get out of here. You're fishing in a private lake. Get the hell out of here now.
The cops are coming. We're just waiting for them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're waiting for them.
You know what? We're going to prosecute. So your parents are going to be real proud of that.
Right.
We're going to prosecute you, and you're going to pay all kinds of money because you're being a dick.
I'm not being a dick.
You are.
Sir, you're the one yelling.
You're on private property, young man.
I'm just trying to fish.
You threatened us and you walked up. Get out of here. You're on private property. Get out of here.
Don't touch me. We just said we wanted to win.
You touched me earlier. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Man, let the kiddies fish, bro. He is protecting that honey hole.
Yeah.
This must be some big old thing. Boy, I'm telling you. They must be pulling him out of there.
Yeah.
That's a prize bass.
It must be some super prize bass. And they are hungry at all times.
Yeah. Yeah, every cast is a fish.
He is beating up on toddlers, basically.
Man, why don't you just help the kids fish? Just help them. You know, like, hey, throw over here. I caught a couple over here, man. You know, throw under that tree over here. You know, just help them.
Hand them a spare whopper plopper, you know?
Yeah.
Be a good fishing neighbor.
Maybe they'll teach you something. Maybe they're catching them on something you're not.
It's always epic to see, like, a middle-aged dude totally outclassed by teenagers.
Yeah.
He's getting shake voice.
You touch me.
How about you? I'm not going to say that. All right. Let's see what else we got for you boys. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing out here. Shout out to people that go to midweek service.
Yeah.
That is something else, because you get off of work about 5, something like that.
That is impressive.
You know, if the kids are in school, you have to get them prepared. Because what, service starts at 6, 7, something like that?
Commitment.
Come on, you are in a rush. Good for you, man. It. Yeah, very committed.
Or tormented. And they got to get back to the Lord. 7 days is too long.
Yeah. Forgive me, I have sinned.
But yeah, shout out to my pastor, Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Luke. And Reverend Ike, he's with God now, but boy, he got some wisdom on him. We got this pastor right here. He had a PowerPoint presentation Sunday morning, and he misspelled assets.
Oh, no.
Misspelled assets in front of the church, and they lost it.
And stewardship is this, protecting and growing the assets. That's really bad. With fierce integrity, I'm going to keep moving. Whew. Wow, and that's on the live stream. All right, where were we?
Mm. Amen. Well, why don't you get your assets out of your seats one more time this morning. And let's sing to the Lord. I'm sorry. I let my intrusive thoughts win.
I told him not to do it.
You know what the Lord would think of a joke?
My intrusive thoughts.
That's pretty good there. You forgot the T, huh?
Yeah, forgot it.
Got to grow the asses of the congregation.
Yeah.
And stewardship is this, protecting and growing the assets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your squats in, your lunges, bro, your assets.
Is it Jim Rome who said everything about the Cowboys while saying nothing? Is it the Yes Network's Michael Kay, who did not hang up on the caller? HOA Larry, or the pastor with the PowerPoint? It's kind of funny having Jim Rome be the champion. I do like Michael Kay a lot, though. He got that caller good. The teenagers were good.
Yeah.
And that pastor bit's pretty funny. I'll go with the Yes Network. Lucius, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, but nothing's beating it right now. I'm going with Jim Rome saying a whole lot of nothing about the Cowboys, but saying everything at the same time.
Man, 1-1. It's quite a talent.
That is.
I'm going to go Michael Kay.
Brian.
Jim Rome.
We're tied at 2.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know I was that close to the mic. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Jump on to @GBagNation. I'm creating an Insta poll as we speak. Coming back on the other side, we'll announce the winner and then get into Brian Broaddus's Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking it, man?
Yeah, I've got some travel tips for you guys. We'll talk about that next.
Man, when I first heard that Jim Rome sportsman, I thought it was a give-up throwaway. But the more distance and time we get from it, the more I recognize it as broadcast art, Brian. He's done it again, and he is your G-Bag of the Day champion.
There we go.
There's levels to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like poetry. Double entendres and everything. Yeah. You got to sit with it for a while before it hits you.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to see this one through. I'm going to see this one through.
Calling
every day.
Your shot.
I'm calling my shot on this one.
The corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. I like your chances at this point, Brian, to be honest with you. Doug Glanville's coming up at 3 o'clock. Here's Broaddus with the corner.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Luke. General. Thank you much to Reliant as well for their sponsorship on our little segment here. We're getting ready to travel here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Getting ready to travel. And it's always fun to travel with these guys just because Dawson will scare you to death with his don't check a bag look that he'll give you.
Oh, yeah. We don't need to be spending those extra 25 minutes when we arrive at 10:30 at night.
Dawson won't bring a bag.
No.
He won't bring a bag.
I'll travel with my backpack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll buy, like, if you're thinking about checking that bag, Broaddus, don't.
I guess you're taking an Uber. You're driving separate from the rest of us.
Yeah, the car's in my name.
Oh,
but
that's right.
I could see you, like, saying, hey, give me your credit card. Just give me your credit.
How long it takes to get the cars these days? Hell, yeah, that might even out.
I think
we checked last year and it didn't end up being terrible.
I think LA is much better. Matter of fact, I went ahead and pre-registered everything through.
Oh, nice.
I went ahead and put all my information.
Nice to travel with.
Well, I didn't want to get to the point where, you know, we get there at night.
Yeah.
And we're scrambling around. Now, again, there's some questions about, you know, the type of car we pick. We just need to be a little
bit. We're leaving you in charge of that. We learned our lesson.
Yeah, we just need to be a little bit better. We don't want the white panel van that you that like with no windows and like if you
the Breaking Bad van.
Yeah, if you end up in it, you're not coming back kind of van thing. Yeah.
Missing windshield wipers.
Yeah, big X on the side. Like, don't take this one. Yeah. One of the greatest driving exhibitions I've ever seen in my life when Dawson in that monsoon in Arizona
was incredible.
No windshield wiper. Standing up and leaning to his right to get the view out the middle of the windshield to avoid the windshield, the broken windshield that was scratching into the window.
Yeah, the windshield wiper frame was digging a groove on my side.
It was digging a groove.
Yeah, I think it was scraping the windshield.
I think I got very familiar with the Eric Chiafalo that night.
Yeah.
They're leaning over into the passenger seat.
Chief was trying to help you somewhat, and then you kind of like... And I was back there with Wolchek, and I'm like, we might not make this. And
we hit a median.
I thought it was a human being too.
Yeah.
That was at that point I said, okay, I'm gonna have to stand up and look for the rest of this because I can't leave this thing to chance.
We bounced that thing pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good in there.
I don't think you could damage that vehicle anymore though. No. I think we did fine.
No, I'd already had a big X on the side.
We were good.
Don't take it. And then the next day I looked at the windshield and there's it was etched like there in the window there was an etching of.
Yeah.
The windshield wiper.
We left
path.
Our mark.
There's no question you left your mark. All right. Have you guys, and I wanted to just do this little talk with you guys. You ever give any thought about where you sit on an airplane?
Every day that I'm going to fly. Yes.
Yeah.
It has to be the aisle.
Okay. I got you on the aisle on this trip, by the way.
I like the exit row. Okay.
Got you in that too.
I don't mind the back.
Okay. This is where we're going to differ here, but go ahead.
I mean, the front is nice because when the plane lands, you get out a little bit sooner.
Sure.
I don't like being in the back on a long flight because a lot of people got to go number two and you end up next to the restroom that smells horribly.
Okay. Here we go.
But I do know that the people in the back of the flight have the best chance of surviving a crash landing. That's why I don't mind it. That's the mitigating factor, Brian.
How about you, Wooly?
I never really put much thought into it until I started traveling with you. Now I'm always like...
A snob?
Let's get that damn exit row. I'm okay with an aisle or a window. I can go either. I'm sure nobody loves the middle, but I'll sacrifice if I need to, depending on who I'm with.
Right.
But otherwise, prior to that, it was like, no, now I'm worried about the headspace. Like, I've turned into a mini Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, you're a little snob. Yeah. I like that. Lucius, do you care about where you sit on an airplane?
I definitely like a window seat.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the lookout.
You like the lookout.
I like the lookout. And I do not want to be in the back. Okay. If I am in the back, that's fine, but I definitely like the front. Less turbulence.
Oh, the less turbulence part is a
great point. You feel the sway on takeoff
when you sit back by the tail, section, that thing moves a ton.
You feel like you're going to start doing donuts.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this, we're flying sideways right now.
Yeah, this is not right.
I'm totally, Lucius, that's a great call. All right. They asked some travelers these questions. Whether it's the left or the right side of the airplane is the best spot to sit in?
I never think about that.
Okay.
Well, A, B, C, D, E, or F?
There's some reasons why you should think left or right.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Neither side is proven to be the safest, by the way.
Okay.
Left side or right side. Neither side is proven to be the safest. So, but in the back, you tend to like, you know, people that have survived have been in the back.
Mm-hmm.
No question. But neither side's proven the safest. What you have to think about is where the path you're taking, potential views.
Okay, yeah.
People are talking about when you fly into a specific city.
Okay.
Or say you fly into the mountain range or you fly into areas you're like, oh, look, it's the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's the Gateway Arch. Oh, look, it's the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's how I seen the Dakyard.
That you saw the Dakyard?
Flying in on Southwest. I said, well, I'll be damned. There it is. Number four right there.
The Dakyard.
The Dakyard.
So Lucius was on the correct side of the plane to see the Dakyard. So you got to think about potential views. Another thing you have to think about is what's going on in the sky. So say you're flying at night.
Yeah.
And say you're going over the top of the, you know, over the top of the world. You're
going north.
Yeah, you're going north. You could see the northern lights, things Ooh. Like that. So you got to think about things that potentially on clear nights you could see with your window open. So the northern lights is something that a lot of people talk about, whether on the left or right side.
It's pretty trippy.
Here's another one. Sleeping preference. Do you lean to your left when you sleep, or do you lean to your right when you sleep, when you put your head next to the window?
Oh,
so you
I
have
see.
To think which way
which side do I want to be
which
on?
Side do you want to be on yeah. to when you lean into that window, say.
I do can't you, side sleep on a plane.
You can't side sleep?
No. I have to awkwardly try to fall asleep, like with my head on the seat in front of me for 10 minutes until the crick starts in my neck.
Uh-huh.
Or just, you know, lean back. If I try to side sleep, it doesn't go well. It makes my spine so uncomfortable that I have to get erect again.
I think.
Yep.
It, wait, what?
Very uncomfortable for people around me sometimes.
It is. That's sure. The lady is. With her pants off next to that time to
you
LA.
You were giving all the signals that day.
No flights.
I think thinking about it, the right.
You ever hear of the bathroom, ma'am?
The right is the lean.
The right is the lean?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. You got to think about the left or right side leaning in that window. Okay. You also have to think about if you're left or right handed when working.
Okay.
So you got to keep your outside hand free. So yes. We like working on a computer.
Uh-huh.
So you have to think about Smart. How do I how
do you,
you
want
know,
to keep that out of the aisle?
Yeah.
Or do you want to keep it away from the person in the middle seat?
You can keep it in the aisle because there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
But depending on if you're dominant right or left-handed, you have to think about, like, if I'm going to do work on a plane,
yeah,
I have to be able to keep my dominant hand free while I do this.
That's a great point.
All right. The final thing, and Dawson, you and Lucius, you guys hit on it. Really the most important seat. You got to be towards the front, on the aisle, away from the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay? Because what happens is the noise in the back.
Mm-hmm. Very noisy.
The foot traffic.
Yeah.
And the unwanted smells.
Oh, it can get bad. Well, you know, we sat towards the back on a couple of flights on my last vacation, but they were only like hour and a half flights, so we avoided that fate. But I was worried about it from the moment we sat down.
Oh.
I always hate sitting in the back because, again, the turbulence like Lucius talked about. But I
then
do
the time.
I hate the people standing around my seat.
Yes.
Just, you know, and they're getting ready to go to the bathroom and they might be letting out smells.
Probably. That's right.
While they're hanging in there waiting for somebody to come out.
Very
and they
awkward.
Tell them not to congregate back there.
Yeah, but they do.
But people do.
It's unavoidable.
Yeah. And the smell is awful back there.
The worst thing on my flight last time, I had this lady wasn't any taller than 5'8", but she insisted on putting her knees into the back of the seat and kept moving them. She was very fidgety. I heard her actually telling her neighbor, "I'm very fidgety." And I could not believe it.
Did you say something?
I'm fidgety.
I couldn't bring myself to it. Again, it was only an hour and a half flight. So I just kind of ate that one. But I did get up and stare at her a little bit just to kind of eyeball her to see how tall she was.
Damn you.
And then when you are in the middle of the plane and it pulls into the gate and then the people in the back rush forward. And then they end up standing next to you for like 12
people.
Inconsiderate.
Yeah. When people rush the front, that's like where are you going?
We're all waiting.
Where do they come from?
They're not thinking.
Yeah, people.
The dude actually said, I'm trying to get to my wife. She's about five aisles up. And he stopped right where I was. I'm like, well, yeah, you can't just insist that you're going to the front.
Let me tell you another one. Let me tell you another one. Somebody that has a seat up towards the front, but their bag is all the way to the back or in the middle.
Yeah.
And they try and go back against the stream.
No, you got to wait it out. Yeah.
You just have to. You can't fight upstream to get your bag.
No.
You know, you got to wait it out, let everybody off the plane, get your bag, and then get off.
Yeah.
Don't fight it upstream. But those are some travel tips.
That was a good list, man. One thing we missed, though, you got to look on your ticket, see if it's a Boeing 737 MAX. Yeah. You got to look for that nowadays.
Yeah. You sit by the door, and would you be glad to help us get the door off? I'm like, ma'am, it might go on its own.
Damn.
It might go on its own.
NFL News of the Day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
Well, we'll talk with Doug Glanville, and then we'll party with NFL News of the Day at 3:20.
Man, when I first heard that Jim Rome Sportsman, and I thought it was a give-up throwaway, but the more distance and time we get from it, the more I recognize it as broadcast art, Brian. He's done it again, and he is your G-Bag of the Day champion.
There we go.
There's levels to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like poetry. Double entendres and everything. Yeah. You got to sit with it for a while before it hits you.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to see this one through. I'm going to see this one through every day. I'm calling my shot in this one.
The Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. I like your chances at this point, Brian, to be honest with you. Doug Glanville's coming up at 3 o'clock. Here's Broadus with The Corner.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, General. Thank you much to Reliant as well for their sponsorship on our little segment here. We're getting ready to travel here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Getting ready to travel. And it's always fun to travel with these guys just because Dawson will scare you to death with his don't check a bag look that he'll give you.
Oh, yeah. We don't need to be spending those extra 25 minutes when we arrive at 10:30 at night.
Dawson won't bring a bag.
No.
He won't bring a bag.
I'll travel with my backpack.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'll buy. Like, if you're thinking about checking that bag, Broadus, don't.
I guess you're taking an Uber. You're driving separate from the rest of us.
The car's in my name.
Oh,
but
that's right.
I could see you like saying, "Hey, give me your credit card. Just give me your."
How long it takes to get the cars these days?
Hell, yeah, that
might
was,
even out.
I think
we checked last year and it didn't end up being terrible.
I think LA is much better. Matter of fact, I went ahead and pre-registered everything through.
Oh, nice.
I went ahead and put all my information.
Nice to travel with.
Well, I didn't want to get to the point where we get there at night.
Yeah.
And we're scrambling around. Now, again, there's some questions about, the type of car we pick. We just need to be a little
bit. We're leaving you in charge of that. We learned our lesson.
Yeah. We just need to be a little bit better. We don't want the white panel van that you, with no windows and like if you.
The Breaking Bad van.
Yeah. If you end up in it, you're not coming back kind of van thing. Yeah.
Missing windshield wipers.
Yeah. Big X on the side. Like, don't take this one. Yeah. One of the greatest driving exhibitions I've ever seen in my life when Dawson in that monsoon in Arizona.
Was incredible.
No windshield wiper, standing up and leaning to his right to get the view out the middle of the windshield.
Yeah.
To avoid the windshield, the broken windshield that was scratching into the window.
Yeah, the windshield wiper frame was digging a groove on my side.
It was digging a groove.
Yeah, I think it was scraping the windshield.
I think I got very familiar with the Eric Chiafalo that night.
Yeah.
They're leaning over into the passenger seat.
Chief was trying to help you somewhat, and then you kind of like, and I was back there with Wolchek, and I'm like, we might not make this.
At one point, we hit a median.
I thought it was a human being, too.
Yeah. At that point, I said, okay, I'm going to have to stand up and look for the rest of this because I can't leave this thing to chance.
We bounced that thing pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good in there.
I don't think you could damage that vehicle anymore, though. No. I think we did fine.
No, I'd already had a big X on the side.
We were good.
Don't take it. And then the next day, I looked at the windshield, and there's right. It was etched. Like there in the window, there was an etching of. Yeah. The windshield wiper.
We left
path.
Our mark.
There's no question you left your mark. All right. Have you guys, and I wanted to just do this little talk with you guys. You ever give any thought about where you sit on an airplane?
Every day that I'm going to fly. Yes.
Yeah.
It has to be the aisle.
Okay. I got you on the aisle on this trip, by the way.
I like the exit row. Okay.
Got you in that too.
I don't mind the back.
Okay. This is where we're going to differ here, but go ahead.
I mean, the front is nice because when the plane lands, you get out a little bit sooner.
Sure.
I don't like being in the back on a long flight because a lot of people got to go number two and you end up next to the restroom that smells horribly.
Okay. Here we go.
But I do know that the people in the back of the flight have the best chance of surviving a crash landing. That's why I don't mind it. That's the mitigating factor, Brian.
How about you, Wooly?
I never really put much thought into it until I started traveling with you. Now I'm always like,
let's snob.
Let's get that damn exit row. I'm okay with an aisle or a window. I can go either. I'm sure nobody loves the middle, but I'll sacrifice if I need to, depending on who I'm with.
Right.
But otherwise, prior to that, it was like, no, now I'm worried about the headspace. Like I've turned into a mini Brian Broadus.
Yeah, you're a little snob. Yeah. I like that. Lucius, do you care about where you sit on an airplane?
I definitely like a window seat.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the lookout.
You like the lookout.
I like the lookout. And I do not want to be in the back. Okay. If I am in the back, that's fine, but I definitely like the front. less turbulence.
Oh, the less turbulence part is a big, that is a
great
point.
You feel the sway on takeoff a lot in the back.
When you sit back by the tail, section, that thing moves a ton.
You feel like you're going to start doing donuts.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this, we're flying sideways right now.
Yeah, this is not right.
Yeah. I'm totally, Lucius, that's a great call. All right. There's been a, they asked some travelers these questions, whether it's the left or the right side of the airplane is the best spot to sit in.
I never think about that.
Okay.
Well, A, B, C, D, E, or F?
There's some reasons why you should think left or right.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Neither side is proven to be the safest, by the way.
Okay.
Left side or right side, neither side is proven to be the safest. So, but in the back, you tend to like, you know, people that have survived have been in the back. Mm-hmm. No question. But neither side's proven the safest. What you have to think about is where the travel, the path you're taking, potential views.
Okay, yeah.
People are talking about when you fly into a specific city.
Okay.
Or say you fly into the mountain range or you fly into areas you're like, oh, look, it's the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's the Gateway Arch. Oh, look, it's the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's how I seen the backyard.
You saw the backyard?
Flying in on Southwest. I said, well, I'll be damned. There it is. Number four right there.
The backyard.
The backyard.
So Lucius was on the correct side of the plane to see the backyard. So you got to think about potential views. Another thing you have to think about is what's going on in the sky. So say you're flying at night.
Yeah.
And say you're going over the top of the, you know, over the top of the world.
You're going north.
Yeah, you're going north. You could see the northern lights, things like that. So you got to think about things that potentially on clear nights you could see with your window open. So the northern lights is something that a lot of people talk about, whether on the left or right side.
It's pretty trippy.
Here's another one. Sleeping preference. Do you lean to your left when you sleep, or do you lean to your right when you sleep, when you put your head next to the window?
Oh,
so you have to think which way,
which side do I want to be
which
on?
Side do you want to be on to when you lean into that window, say.
Can't side sleep on a plane.
You can't side sleep?
No. I have to awkwardly try to fall asleep like with my head on the seat in front of me for 10 minutes until the crick starts in my neck.
Uh-huh.
Or just, you know, lean back. If I try to side sleep, it doesn't go well. It makes my spine so uncomfortable that I have to get erect again.
What?
Very uncomfortable for people around me sometimes.
The lady with her pants off next to that time to LA.
You were giving all the signals that day.
Flights.
I think thinking about it, the right.
You ever hear the bathroom, ma'am?
The right is the lean.
The right is the lean?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Got to think about the left or right side leaning in that window. Okay. You also have to think about if you're left or right handed when working.
Okay.
So you got to keep your outside hand free. So we like working on a computer.
Uh-huh.
So you have to think about how do you
want to keep that out of the aisle?
Yeah.
Or do you want to keep it away from the person in the middle seat?
You can keep it in the aisle because there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
But depending on if you're dominant right or left-handed, you have to think about, like, if I'm going to do work on a plane, I have to be able to keep my dominant hand free while I do this.
That's a great point.
All right. The final thing, and Dawson, you and Lucius, you guys hit on it. Really the most important seat. You got to be towards the front, on the aisle, away from the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay? Because what happens is the noise in the back.
Mm-hmm. Very noisy.
The foot traffic.
Yeah.
And the unwanted smells.
Oh, it can get bad. Well, you know, we sat towards the back on a couple of flights on my last vacation, but they were only like hour and a half flights, so we avoided that fate. But I was worried about it from the moment we sat down.
Oh,
I always hate sitting in the back because, again, the turbulence like Lucius talked about. I hate the people standing around my seat.
Yes.
Just, you know, and they're getting ready to go to the bathroom, and they might be letting out smells. Probably.
That's right.
While they're hanging in there waiting for somebody to come out.
Very awkward.
Tell them not to congregate back there.
Yeah, but they do.
But people do.
It's unavoidable.
Yeah, and the smell is awful back there.
The worst thing on my flight last time, I had this lady, wasn't any taller than 5'8", but she insisted on putting her knees into the back of the seat and kept moving them. She was very fidgety. I heard her actually telling her neighbor, I'm very fidgety. And I could not believe it.
Did you say something?
No. I couldn't bring myself to it. It was only an hour and a half flight. So I just kind of ate that one. But I did get up and stare at her a little bit just to kind of eyeball her to see how tall she was.
Damn you.
And then when you are in the middle of the plane and it pulls into the gate and then the people in the back rush forward. And then they end up standing next to you for like 12 minutes. Inconsiderate.
Yeah. When people rush the front, that's like, where are you going?
We're all waiting.
Where do they come from?
They're not thinking.
Yeah, these people.
The dude actually said, I'm trying to get to my wife. She's about five aisles up. And he stopped right where I was. I'm like, you can't just insist that you're going to the front.
Let me tell you another one. Somebody that has a seat up towards the front, but their bag is all the way to the back or in the middle.
Yeah.
And they try and go back against the stream.
No, you got
to
wait it out.
Yeah. You just have to. You can't fight upstream to get your bag.
No.
No.
You know, you got to wait it out. Let everybody off the plane, get your bag, and then get off.
Yeah.
Don't fight it upstream. But those are some travel tips.
That was a good list, man. One thing we missed, though, you got to look on your ticket, see if it's a Boeing 737 MAX. You got to look for that nowadays.
Yeah. You sit by the door. By the door. Would you be glad to help us get the door off? I'm like, ma'am, it might go on its own.
Damn.
It might go on its own.
NFL News of the Day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
Well, we'll talk with Doug Glanville, and then we'll party with NFL News of the Day at 3:20.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.